The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy? Yeah! Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Wednesday, 14th day of December, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 132 points. S&P is down 15. The comp is off by 49. Gold, big story of the day, down $85, down 17% from the all-time highs. So, interesting. Michael, good afternoon. I know you're on a short leash today. In that,
yes.
You gotta go see the kids in the Christmas play.
Yes, I do. Exciting. Apparently there's a huge demand for seats, is what my wife just texted me.
Is that right?
But that said, gold took a beating today, as it has the last couple of days. I think you had some awesome tweets on the gold.
Yeah, they're on the screen.
I'm just getting stuff set up here so that I can open this up properly. Give me just a second. I'm trying to get your DOM set up properly here.
Oh, while you're doing that, I'll show the folks this. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Why don't you do that for a second? It's going to take me just a second here.
Guys, this site is called PackageMapping.com. Okay, the Apple iPad that we gave away, it originated at the factory here in China, then it went to Korea, and it got on another plane. Then they sent that baby up to Anchorage, Alaska. See? Here, let's have a look at those other spots on the map. Let me back it out. Where was that? Incheon, Korea. Shanghai, China. Chengdu, China. That's where it originated. Went from Chengdu to Shanghai to Incheon to Anchorage to Louisville, Kentucky. That part's kind of weird. Went from Anchorage to Louisville and then to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, here's where it gets really kind of cool. Let's go satellite. Let's drill down. See if we can find the truck. Totally worked earlier. There we go. Let me reload it. Okay, let's go satellite. Now let's shut it down.
Just having the lines drawn is pretty cool.
Oh, I was going the wrong way. I need to be doing the plus sign, right? No? Yeah, that's right. I was doing I was going the wrong way. There it is. All right. On the truck on the freeway.
That's
how cool
funny.
Is that? That is cool. All right, now back it back out.
That is cool. Yeah, there was a lot of garble in the intro. A lot of garble in the intro.
Ah, whatever.
Seems welcome to have gone away now.
Welcome to the Garble Station, folks. We bring you fresh garble each and every day. You come here, we'll garble it up. You think your life's on track, going smooth? Come here, we'll throw it in the garbler. And
garble it right up for you.
Serve it up for you, man. I just texted the guy. You know, it's like, where's your network specialist in their underground bunker? Come on. You know, seriously. I rebooted the computer even right before we launched. I did that yesterday, and there was hardly any garble. The end of the day, there's garble. I give up. I'm going to do a newsletter. I've had enough of all this.
Alright. I can't open up the screenshot of your DOM that you sent to me. So,
I was going to ask you, did you really need me to attach it, or did you want me to insert it? So I guess what you're telling me is you wanted me to insert it like I did yesterday, which is kind of old time.
Yeah, yesterday it came through.
Well, yesterday I didn't just attach it. Yesterday I actually plopped it in the body and attached it. So...
let me see.
I'll attach it for you.
Why, thank you. Oil falls below 96 as OPEC sets output target.
Yay, I can fill up my car again.
Woohoo!
It's been a while.
Me too. Jeremy, David.
Alright, there you go. Big ol' image.
Alright. I'm waiting for it. Excuse me.
Yeah, by the way, if you guys get an email from one of our ex-employees, I highly encourage you to, be careful. So, anyway, God bless everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Dwayne and somebody hijacked.
Check the track record. That's all I can say. God bless everyone. Merry Christmas.
All right. All right, well, I can show it this way anyway.
Dude, what more can I do?
I will drag it.
You got to take the charts. You haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to set this up. so that it's...
Octavio says, I'm waiting by the door. You should be, man, because that truck is right down the street from your house.
All right. I'm going to grab the charts now, and then I'll be able to get started, because I don't have a lot of time. And today we did have stuff to go over this morning as well. I'll show you all that in just a minute here. Screen of monitor 2. There it goes. Alright. So you guys should see a bunch of blank screens right now as my memory comes back into view here. There we go. Alright, I'm going to start the recording in... still waiting. 3, 2, 1, go. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is December 14th. It's Wednesday, December 14th, 2011. And I'm going to go over the trades that set up this morning, the trades we took, the trades we didn't take, and why. Alright. Now first, let's go over the results. On the ES, I have a couple things to show you. First, on the ES, we ended up break even in the trades that we took this morning on the ES right there. Now, Dwayne took trades in the live trading room this morning as well. I'm just going to show you a screenshot of his Dom. It came, this is the way it comes through anyway. But you can see right there, the screenshot of his Dom plus 35 points on the YM. That wasn't the ES, that was the YM. I just moved that out of view because it's got a whole bunch of other stuff in my email on there.
Who was the handsome guy?
The handsome guy, that handsome fella, who can also be seen on Seeking Alpha. That would be you. That would be you.
Oh.
With a nice haircut. at least it looks like a nice haircut from the front.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah, business in the front, party in the back. That's it. All right, now let me go over the trades. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to show you guys, the swing trade. This is my swing trade. I'm actually going to take it off right here in front of you, I think. Right here is plus 9 points for me. I had moved my stop up to plus 3 points. I was short. You can see I'm short here. It says 1675. Up here it says 1683. The one that's left on is from 1675. We're at plus 50 ticks, which is 10 points right now. So we're pretty happy taking that off right here, I think. My thought was on the swing trade that it was going to actually move all the way down to 1200. And if it did move down to 1200, it was going to move through 1200. But since I am not going to be available to, plus 50 ticks on the swing trade. That's what I took. Now, for everyone else that's still in the swing trade, I'm not going to be hanging around to be able to monitor it because I have to take off very shortly. But if you have time to hang around and monitor it, the euro right now is moving up pretty strong. That might move the ES up quite a bit. That's why I was just going to take it off right there. Earlier I was saying, I was thinking about locking in 10 points anyway if it got down to 1200. But I wanted to leave it going so you guys could see me do it here in this room. Anyway, that said, let's get to the trades from the morning. Okay? We were break even on the ES, by the way, so I'll tell you that right up ahead of time. We're break even. Hang on. Here we go. Our first trade of the day was right here. We had everything moving up. Everything was going for this trade. And I got into it, and something happened, and the market collapsed. From 1216.75, it dropped 8 points, all the way down to 1208. So it took us with it on that one. We never had a chance in that trade. As things progressed here, we didn't have an opportunity right in here because we needed a lower swing. And hold on. We'll keep scrolling over here. We'll keep scrolling. Times at 1217. All right. Anyway, the other trades that I took were over here. I'll show them to you over here. All right. I took trades over here on the 2100. This trade that I took on the 2100 tick, let me slide this up a little bit for you right here. This trade that I took on the 2100 tick, the cycle was down below the 50. We were straddling the 20 over here. Now, I took this trade actually on the 4-tick range at the same time. I just can't seem to get it in view. But the 4-tick range, the 2100 and the 10K BBCs were all within about a point of each other at that time. And so I took the trade over there. I missed a trade in here on the 4-tick range. We were chatting, and I missed the trade completely. This is one that I took. I took 1 point out of to gain a point back. So at this point, I think I was minus 1 point. And then we had another one in here, right here. This is the same one that I'm trying to show you over here. We took a point out of that one. That went on to make the full 2 points. Then there was another opportunity. Nope, there was no opportunity here. We needed a fresh bubble. By the time we got the fresh bubble, it was over here in the break period. Okay, and that wouldn't have worked anyway because of the space right down there. But the thing that we found interesting this morning, the thing that I found interesting, was there were many times during the morning where the BBCs lined up on all three of these time frames, on the 10K, on the 2100, and on the ES. All right, so we ended up break even on the ES this morning. And on the YM, as I showed you just a minute ago, Dwayne took a trade. I'll show you where he took the trade. All right, there was a trade there that we missed. This was the trade over here that Dwayne took. He shorted it up here and took profit down here. And I think he actually took this trade over here that I didn't take. I just drew an arrow on it. I think he took that one as well. Right now it's setting up. We have a bullish cross. We'd be looking for a pullback down to the BBC here. On the 10K, we also have a bullish cross. We'd be looking for a pullback down to the BBC there. On the 2100, we have a bullish cross, and the cycle is above the 50. We're straddling the 20 on the DMT, on both of those DMTs. The 4-tick range is giving us a long trade from 1207. 1207 MIT is where that trade would be, okay, 1207 MIT. And that's it. So right now, everything's looking long from right here, at least for, you know, for the short period here. Everything's looking like it's going to move up a little bit. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how it all goes. But if we bring over the, I'll show you this on the 6E. All right, I'm sliding my 6E contract or my 6E chart in here. I took this trade on the 6E this morning as well. It gave 10 ticks profit in it at one point. I had moved my profit target way out and moved my stop to plus 2 ticks. But I shorted right here at 129.80. I think 129.80, 129.81. Right in that range. And I know it gave at least 10 ticks at one point, but it came back up and it took me out. What we would be looking for is when you have divergence here, the next pullback to the BBC right here would be the place that you'd look to enter. We had divergence here, the pullback to the BBC right here is where you'd be looking to enter. So right here where the market is where you'd be looking to enter to go long, anticipating it moving from 16 up through this level up here up at 130.29. All right, and that's a significant move. But you can see how the euro just moved quickly here, and it's the euro is just shutting down. So I wouldn't be looking to do anything here right now. But that's significant that it's moved up that far right at the end there, right at the close of the day. Okay, we'll see how that impacts the ES right now and all of our markets over here. And I don't see any questions. Yes, Gary, there was a potential George setting up, but it's not a George anymore. Now it's just a regular CFR trade. I don't see any other questions, guys. I'm going to have to wrap it up. All right. That is the end of the recording. So I can save this right now. 12/14/2000. All right. Does anyone have any questions right now? Maybe? Anyone? Yes? No?
I don't.
That was a, I know that was a quick recording, a quick recap, but.
Well, you covered it. You got to go to the play. It's very important. I understand.
Yeah, it's very important. Very important that my kids are able to see me somewhere. Somewhere in the audience. All right. Now, if nobody has any questions or anything like that, then I'm probably going to take off. And if you want to bring David in early, why, that is...
Let's see if he's in the green room. There he is.
Just fine.
All right.
Yes, he is.
Anything else you want to add? Oh, partners meeting tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Yes, you do have to be a partner to get in. If you're on the free trial and you want to become a partner, then send an email to tech, T-E-C-H, at CFRN.net. Michael will send you over the paperwork, get you signed up, get you into the partners meeting. If you're not on the free trial, if you've not taken the free trial, you really should take the free trial because it really is free. Go to CFRN.net/apply. Now, here's the deal. A lot of free trials that you may or may not have taken, they let you sit there and watch, and that's kind of it. And you don't see much at that. We do something a little bit different, okay? Number one, we give you 5 days in the live trading room. But along with giving you access to the trading room, we actually give you your own platform, your own simulator, your own indicators, and your own live data. Not delayed, live data for every futures market and Forex. E-minis, gold, silver, oil, lumber, livestock, grains, you name it. If it's a futures contract, you'll have live flowing data on your charts. So again, not only do you get into the live trading room for 2 days, but you get the platform, the simulator, the indicators, and the data. Okay? We don't hold anything back. We show you everything we got during the 5 days. So that at the end of the 5 days, you can make an intelligent decision whether or not what we have to offer can benefit you. It's not a teaser. It's not, well, we'll show you a little bit, you know, to try to get you. We just show you everything. We just lay it out, man. Here it is. We then, during that week, give you unlimited telephone and email support. We're willing to do one-on-one meetings with you to help you get your chart set up, to help you get your indicators going, your data flowing, whatever you need. Just like you were a paying customer. That's how we treat you on the free trial. Not like a second-class citizen. CFRN.net/apply. Michael, have fun at the Christmas play.
All right, thanks. There was one last thing I wanted to mention. Anybody that's got the note that the reminder about the partner activation, take care of that as well, okay? And we'll make sure that you get the links to the workshops and all that stuff as we go forward. All right. Everybody have a great day. There is a trade setting up right here for everyone. Trade setting up right here. BBC is everywhere. But I have to go. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, Michael.
All right. Take care, Ty.
All right, guys. We're going to go to David Williams at PageTrader.com right after this station identification.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
David.
And good morning, Michael, even though you're having to go.
He's gone. He's off.
He's gone.
He's in his sleigh and out of the way. So good morning to you, sir. Welcome to this radio program.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. And we've got lots going on in the markets, lots going on in the world. Yesterday we had a Fed interest rate announcement, which any more is really more just people waiting to see what the outlook of the Fed is. That means there's an opinion that has been published, that will be published, is published on the same at the same time that they're putting out whether or not interest rates have been raised or lowered, or whether they stay the same. And that little statement is really what people are reading into and making decisions about the future based on what the Fed has said. We've had some decent, little bit of decent news, not great news, but definitely a little bit of decent news in the overall jobless rate. We went from 9.1 down to 8.6, or wherever we are, something like that, which is a decline, which is fabulous. You can't shake a stick at that. You know, you have to say that's good. Putting aside blame or credit for it, let's just say it's a great thing. You know, and the truth of the matter is that whether you believe in the policies of this administration or not, if you're going to, you know, if they're going to take the bad, you have to credit them with the good. So on some level, you know, just in fairness, even though this kills me to say it, you know, you have to credit them with any improvement as well. So, and they'll be there to take the credit, as any administration would be. We're still deep in the woods. There's still a lot of issues and problems. But when the jobless rate drops, that's a really good thing. That's a surprisingly good drop that they had there. The weekly unemployment also dropped slightly, which is helpful. It's, you know, at least it's in the right direction. We had been over 400,000 people lining up every week for the last 20-something months. Every week, 400,000 more people plus. And so we're in the threes. We'll see how it pans out here. You know, we have Christmas time coming up, and that's a period where people probably won't be even looking for work, and there's no problem there. I think everybody would understand that. So some good news for the economy, and Europe is still in deep trouble, and there's still a lot of uncertainty with that, and there's still a lot of uncertainty with our world. But it's nice to see a little ray of sunshine. It's nice to see a little uptick in the fact that people are getting work, and that the economy, you know, it isn't anywhere near all better, but we've had at least a little couple steps in the right direction. Did you have something you were going to say on that, Dwayne?
No.
Did you? Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, good. You don't want to participate in this radio program?
I'm right here. You're talking. You and me.
I know. I'm just
talk
joking.
Over you?
No, I just was just joking. Just being playful.
Oh, God.
So what's happening on your end?
You ready to start the show or what? Do you want to get going?
Well, I already started the show, Dwayne.
Oh.
Sure. Oh, you mean well, onto the
good
markets?
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to...
Is Dwayne on something today, or
nope,
no?
Not a thing, man. Not today.
All right.
I ain't got enough coffee in my cup, but that's all right. We'll get through.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's see. I'll grab the charts so we can see what's really going on. Change presenter. All right. Gold. Wow. How about that gold? What do you think? Big drop.
Yeah, sharply down.
Big drop.
Big down day in gold.
I tweeted a thing last night. I thought, you know, maybe there's $10 on the table. I don't know, $20, you know, which translates into $2,000-$3,000. But per contract, $7,300 drop. Gold down at the peak today, $85. I mean, wow. And the euro, hammered as well.
Yeah.
Global markets. Not. Actually, we're not doing so bad, I suppose, by comparison to some things, some metrics. What are your thoughts, David?
We're not doing so bad, according to some metrics, and I'm hoping that it stays that way, and we see continued, some continued bullish behavior into Christmas. You know, it's the Christmas rally thing. Do we have something to talk about here with regard to the Christmas season? Is this uptick related to that? And if it is, that's fine. Whatever it's related to, I'm glad we've got something happening here. Now, our markets are down today, and we had forecast on your program that any failure at 12:32 in the March contract would send prices immediately fast decline into December 14th down to the 11.98 to 11.97 level. And the break occurred the other day, a few days back. We broke the 12:32 level. And today is December 14th. So far, today's low has been 12:03.25, just about 5 points off of that 11.98 target. The day is still young. We have into tomorrow to finish the on-time, the one day late for this. Tomorrow also would mark, under normal conditions, the next important daily bottom. So we have a lot of things coming together right at this point. Today's session so far has been a trend day down. We do have a bounce underway right now on the upside. The market is attempting to retest the 12.10.50 level. They haven't quite been able to do that yet.
I think that's where it runs into trouble. How about you?
I'm sorry?
I think that's where the bounce may run into some trouble.
Yeah, most likely.
12.11, 12.12 for me.
Okay. So if they can get up there, and so we'll see. This is a chance for the market where the pressure has been taken off and the market can advance for just a little bit here on the upside. And we'll give them a, let's let them put it in and give a shot here on the upside. If they do fail at that level, which I suspect that they would, then we would want to be shorting the market for further decline. But I'd give them a chance here to put that in because we now have started a new hour just 4 minutes ago. And so I would suspect that they would do the 12.10.50. Here we are at 12.09.50. And let's see what they can do with that as we're on the program here watching it. So let's see. With all of this going on underway, so the first thing, let's do this. Again, I'm hoping that somebody was able to take advantage of this on the downside because we did, in fact, close below 12:32, both on the hourly a couple days ago and on the daily. And this is a really good example of natural price levels associated with the date of December 14th. The market wants to go down and complete 11.98, and we had forecast this in our webinar as well for a reflected wave, showing people that there would be a turn on the downside if they broke 12.32. Now, one of the reasons, there's many technical reasons that people could come up with for this drop. You don't have to focus just on our particular approach, but in our particular approach, the timing of this for landing to get down here on December 14th is a unique proposition, that there are dates associated with prices and that the market wants to complete these and under normal conditions would. This has been a very choppy, tricky market prior to this move. When you go back and take a look at the highs that were made back on the 5th and all the back and forth that this market has done, to finally, potentially get this move underway to the downside here, it's been pretty tricky. There's no question about it. I know people who have attempted to trade it. We've traded it, and it has been tricky. And the market is tricky usually before larger moves. So I like selling rallies today. I've mentioned that yesterday, and I will mention it for today as well. I like selling these rallies. So let's let the market do its thing here, and let's sell short on these rallies, because this is a very important point the market is at right now. Now, here we are. We're trading at 12.08 25. Messenger Pro had shorted the market at 1209.50 against the 1210.50 potential. So we're going to try to walk this trade through to completion. If they do go up to 1210.50, we will, if we were to be stopped out of this, we would reshort the market again. So, because that level is critical to us. I think the swing high so far has been 1209.75. So we'll let them cook here for a little bit. So this is a combination, this whole trade, the whole setup is a combination of both reflected wave and roadmaps, putting all that together. And it's, again, it's very much like having tool belt, and you've got a certain number of tools, and you've got this thing appearing in front of you that you have to work on. There are going to be times when that thing doesn't require, or you don't have the tool to work on that particular part of what it's showing you, what the market's showing you at that time. Expect that, because the market's really big. It's as big as life, and there's going to be plenty of things that aren't your piece of it. They don't match you. It's almost like meeting a person and, you know, this isn't your cup of tea, or this isn't somebody that you connect with very well. They're coming from a very different place, that kind of thing. But then 5 minutes later, you're meeting somebody else, and this person and you do connect, and things do make a connection between you and them. It's like that with the market. You're waiting for the parts that you connect with. And so then you can take the tool out, whatever that thing is that you know how to do, how to apply something correctly. It's not just having the tool, but knowing how to apply it. Anybody can buy paint and brushes, but you also have to now know how to paint to put the tool to work. And so that's part of the whole thing about understanding whether you're using Duane's indicators, you're learning to use those and put them to work. Having them is just one step. Anybody can have them, but learning to put them to work is the next step. With reflected wave, same thing. You have to learn how to apply it to the market, how it works, and really where its sweet spot is. We've used that term a lot recently, but it's anything. It's the same thing I've been saying for years on the program, which is that it's much better to wait patiently for the sweet spot, for the part that you understand, than it is to be trading just for trading's sake. If you're the type of person like me who can't sit at your home or office and stare at the screen without doing something for no good reason, then get yourself something to do so that you don't get in that position, because it's very easy to throw money away in the market. Where does that money go? When you trade, it goes to some other party. Not all of it. You might have a $1,000 loss. I hope not, but let's say you did, and that $1,000 might go all to one person, or it might go to 50 people, depending on how the other side, how all those people played the move that you were happened to be wrong about. They get little bits and pieces of it, or you might be trading against one person, as an example. I've mentioned this before. Don't worry about trading against professionals. There are none in the market. Everybody who's trading is equal. The difference between you trading against, when people say, well, you're trading against a professional, the difference is that that's in his mind. He's a professional. That doesn't mean that there aren't any professionals, but as for a practical matter, it makes no difference who you're trading against. It doesn't matter if you're trading against George Soros. It really doesn't. He has to be right, and you have to be wrong in order for you to be wrong. When George Soros places his trade, there's nothing he can do about what the market's going to do. When you place your trade, there's nothing you can do about what the markets are going to do. So you are in the same position as he is. The market is the great equalizer. When, Warren Buffett bought silver at $8, you know, there's nothing he can do from that point forward. He had to sit through it going down to $4 before his position was made right. So had you been shorting the market, you would be shorting against Warren Buffett. But Warren Buffett doesn't have any power over the markets, nor does George Soros. George Soros owns several funds worth billions and billions of dollars, but he doesn't move the markets. The markets move his positions. And if it was that easy, if you could just get billions of dollars together and move the market, then that's what everybody would be doing. But it does not work that way. That's a fact. It doesn't work that way. So the people with the big funds, the people with the big money, are going to manage that money the best way they can, just as you are managing your money the best way you can. Once they place their trade, it's on, and the market then, the game is for the, what the market does. So you have to learn how to read the market. Forget about who you're trading against. You have to read the market. And the person who reads the market correctly in a given time frame is the one that has the potential to make money. Reading the market correctly doesn't guarantee you money, and you guys know that.
Nope.
Because you can read the market correctly and get stopped out.
Yep.
And then not be in for the trade. And then say something like, God, I had it right, and then they stopped me out and they ran them. And expect that to happen. Don't turn that into a lifestyle. Don't turn that into a negativity that you're going to carry with you, always, you know, mumbling about that. It does happen. The market will stop you out of positions, and then you have to learn a second skill, which is to get back into a position if it still confirms, etc. All the things that we've talked about so many times, but they bear repeating, and I know there's some new people on, so I want to make sure that some of that gets through to them. So anyway, we have some big market movement today. Several of them are in markets that we had forecast to do these movements, and the S&P, of course, is one of those markets. So we'll see how the S&P handles this level. They are attempting a little bit higher here now. We've exited one half of our position so far, and we're going to see if they do stop us out. We will reshort the market in this area from, you know, 950 up to, you know, 1025 or maybe a little higher, whatever the number was we said earlier. So they're pushing it right now. Let's watch them here for a minute and see what they can do here, because this is kind of a critical juncture for them right here. Dwayne, do you have anything you want to add to that or subtract from that?
All I can say is we're definitely not in Kansas.
Okay, we're definitely not in Kansas.
Yeah, this market, 1211, I like that area right there. If it pops up to that, to consider selling 1211.
That may be a bit of a stretch at this point, but we'll see.
If it gets up there. If it doesn't, I'm not going to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. What do you worry about, Dwayne?
Not much, David.
Okay. Well, good.
You know, I learned long ago that the things in life that make us happy are also the things in life that make us miserable. Find one example where that's not true, and we'll have a huge discussion about it. Now, that sounds all very cavalier, I understand. But to say that, you know, I don't ever worry about anything, really that's not true. But in the grandest scheme of things, I do realize the futile nature of worrying. Because, you know, I was thinking the other day really a lot about my two grandfathers. They both passed on now. Both were hardworking men. One was an ordinary hardworking man, in that I don't mean he was ordinary. I mean that the working part was that he went to a 9-to-5 job, mm-hmm. and then came home, and then on Saturday, though, he had his own business. He ran a barbecue pit and worked very, very hard at that. Mm-hmm. I had my other grandfather who, when he retired from being the sheriff, went into another business, and he owned a business, and he worked from, God, he'd get up at 4 in the morning. He'd come home at like 9 mm-hmm. at night. It just took such a toll on his health, and he...
Yeah, that's too much.
And by the time he passed away, very poor health, he left my grandmother with a house and a few dollars. And I was thinking, my goodness, he worked so hard. I mean, so now I have an incredibly strong work ethic, you know, because I had two very good solid men to look at who both worked hard to provide for their families. They went above and beyond the 9-to-5. One did 9-to-5 and then did the all-day Saturday thing, and the other one just literally worked around the clock. But they both, they're gone now. And when they left something, but they didn't leave a fortune, a legacy. They did leave a legacy, but not a material legacy. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I was sitting here at my desk the other night. It was like 11 o'clock. My wife had just walked out, shaking her head one more time. And one of my grandfathers, the one that worked around the clock, I've got one of his old hat. He was a hat man. Those guys were hat men. And I'm not talking ball caps backwards, guys. I'm talking a real hat. I've got his hat sitting on the back of a chair right over here across from my desk. Because I sometimes when I have to do deep thinking, I put his hat on and wear it. And I was looking at his hat, and I was like, my God, I'm so much like him. And I'm headed to that same place if I don't do something different. This role model was presented to me. This cookie-cutter form was laid out, and baby, I'm just pouring the dough right into that form.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really thinking about, okay, what do you want to do different? How are you going to do it different? Because you're going to end up dead just like him at some point. So what do you want to be different? Are you happy right now? Well, happy. Well, the things that make us happy are also the things that make us sad. Our children make us happy, but they also make us sad. Our spouses, our loved ones, you know, the car that we finally get that we always wanted makes us happy for a while. Then it gets in a wreck or breaks down or whatever, stolen, and then it makes us sad. It's this push me, pull me, yin and yang of life that it's like, whoa, stop the noise. I just want to sit down for a while. Just let me sit with this. So, in answer to your question, David, I worry like ordinary people because I'm an ordinary person, but I realize how futile it is to worry. So, I don't know if that knowledge helps me any. I hope it does, and I'm trying to bring that knowledge into play each and every day more so in my life. So, any other questions?
No, that was a good answer. That was I was interested to hear that.
Okay.
I think a lot of us have relatives that come from that last depression era that had to work hard, and that's part of where the hard work ethic in America came from. And then politicians started giving people easy breaks and started giving away handouts and one thing and another. And so that's why there's still a lot of people that are alive that are shocked at, you know, some of the ideas and saying, you know, listen, society changes over time. It's what it is. You know, it's just the fact. The facts are that that's what happens. So over a period of time, people will change. But I think in the end, hard work has its own reward and all that. But you don't want to kill yourself. You can kill yourself. And a lot of people have aunts and uncles, not aunts and uncles, but grandfathers, great-grandfathers, great-grandmothers that had to work really hard. My mother's mother, my grandmother, was an enormously hardworking person. I mean, that really touched me, what you said, the story of the people who worked tremendous hours, you know, didn't have all the safety nets that we have now, and they, you know, they would have liked to have had them, health insurance and things like that. It was just, you know, it's enormous, and we've, you know, society has advanced. But, you know, the hard work ethic is, the work ethic itself is a very powerful part of what makes America, America, if I may say so.
It really is, and I've known so many people, even people in my family, who didn't pick up that work ethic gene. It kind of missed them somehow. But what I want to say to those who do have a good work ethic, and maybe you fall into that category of working a little too much, a little too hard, a little too often, start questioning, okay, let me figure out how to say this. If what you're doing is truly accomplishing something, okay, if you're making progress, if some greater good is being achieved, I don't want to sway you from that path necessarily. But I think a lot of you, or a lot of us, a lot of me, who finds themselves working way too much and way too often, I'm starting to question the individual tasks. How important is this to the bigger picture, to what I want to accomplish, to what I want to leave behind? I'm going to set up 2 hours tonight writing this article or editing an article and making sure it gets posted and making sure it gets linked 57 different times across the internet. You know, when they put me in my box in the ground, how much difference is that going to make to anybody? Not only then, but even tomorrow. It gives me some sense of self-satisfaction that I've done my very best. But you know what? Do I have to prove my self-worth to myself every single day? Or can I just accept it that I am what did that guy used to say on Saturday Night Live? Stuart Smalley, was that his name? I'm lovable.
What did he say?
Somebody in the chat room, help me out. I'm good enough. What did he say? Come on, guys, help me. I'm good. That was a great little bit he used to do. I forget even who did it. Who did that bit? Was it the congressman?
Maybe I'm thinking of Eddie Lamar.
Did you see The Bridge Over the River Kwai?
No.
Oh, great movie. Doggone it. People like me. Oh, wait, here we go. I'm good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. That's it. Thank you, Mark. Yes, I'm good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
See, there you are.
I just gotta, you know, maybe I'll have that put on a post-it note or something. And
what about that book from many, many years ago, How to Win Friends and Influence People?
Mm-hmm. Very popular book, Dale Carnegie.
That's what's the guy's name that wrote that?
Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie, that's what it was. That title has an enormous amount of assumption and conclusion in it.
It's good.
That's another discussion for another day. We'll continue on to the markets, but it was a very popular book, and I think some of the humor that we saw in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s actually comes from that mindset.
Let me ask you:
winning friends, influencing people.
Do you think there's some hoodwinkery involved there?
Not hoodwinkery.
Okay.
But
I just made that
by hoodwinkery. You mean something to sort of point people in a certain direction? No, I think there's a big assumption that you're supposed to win friends and supposed to influence people, and that would be a good thing for you to know how to do, or a good thing for you to worry that you're not able to do. That you're not able to win a friend or influence people, and that there's so much conclusion in that I mean, it's shocking. I don't know if there's too many titles and books that have so many conclusions that I would consider to be highly questionable in nature, built right into the title of the book.
David Williams, you'd have to admit that it's pretty important to you that people like you, isn't it?
Well, let's see. I think I'm. What's the line? Give it to one. What's the guy's
enough,
line?
I'm smart enough. And I'm doggone smart enough. People like me.
People just. Gosh darn it! People just like me. No, I'm just a natural at what I do, and if that includes somebody liking me, and I've been told by people that I'm easy to get along with, and you know I have a little charisma, and I can talk pretty good, but I have plenty of flaws as well that those people would know about if they knew me. So I'm not making a big effort to be, loved and liked. On your program, I want people, I mean, I'm using this program, obviously, on one hand, it's purely business, but on another hand, and probably a bigger hand for me, is I really enjoy showing off. I really enjoy putting my trades out there and giving bold predictions that the market might go do because I have a magician in me because I used to do magic. I still do magic now, Dwayne. And we were sitting at lunch out in Arizona that one time, I still think back and I could have done some really clever tricks for you right there at the lunch table, have won a friend and influenced a person by doing that.
Okay.
But yes, I have a habit. Listen, I was ingrained with that same crap that other people were, that you should make big efforts to get people to like you. That you should, that it's good to have people think highly of you, that influencing people is a good thing that you should be able to do. You're in competition with others and all that. Just complete, God, I wish I could get a better word for it. It's caused so many people so much grief to be out of touch with who you really are in a very natural way because everyone's told you what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be feeling and what you should be wanting. And yeah, that's how it works. You get born into the world and you're presented with all these ideas and you essentially forget your own nature. You do have a nature. And that conditioning can last a whole lifetime. You could be, a lot of that stuff builds up in you, and if you can't win friends and influence people, then you are afraid to be around people who can because of this and that and the other, or you're afraid to be seen through as a person who can't. And before you know it, you just have just endless head trips that you're going to have to work with, things that bother you, things that keep coming up that you don't know what to do with. And what they really are is problems that exist because you haven't investigated them. And that's why I've said on this program before that you need to begin to spend some time away from winning friends and influencing people and spend that time with yourself. Do you want to call it meditation? Do you want to call it, you know, inner relaxation, inner vision, insight, whatever you want to call it? I don't care what the name is, but you're not going to get over those issues that this society and the conditioning that your parents, the sick nuts that you might have had for parents gave you, or the very nice people that you might have had for parents gave you, or some combination of that. But all of that stuff gets stuck in your head, and before you know it, you know, you're working your life off of all these unseen conclusions that are in your mind. And I've said this before, as soon as you've accepted something as true, it operates automatically in you. You don't have to think about it. Just like that wall in front of you, you've accepted as true that you can't get through that wall without hurting yourself. You're not going to be able to run at the wall and run through it, and you don't even have to think. You will turn from that wall. That thing operates automatically because you've accepted it as true. But the same thing is true for invisible things. Anything that you've accepted as true goes underground, beneath your radar, and continues to operate as true. And it will continue to operate as true until you die. Or it'll continue to operate as true until you investigate it. If you investigate it and watch it in motion and catch it, then you can get rid of it and it's nothing. But if you don't, it poisons your lake for the rest of your life. You have to live in that lake filled with all that garbage which you've accumulated. So I'm a real believer in if you want to just live day to day, you can do that and just look for the fun things in life and try to, you know, avoid the situations that make you uncomfortable and all that stuff. But the way life works is you're going to be confronted with the prison that you've built around yourself through inadvertence, through not even knowing you've built it, by having these ideas that you've accepted as true operate. That becomes your prison. And then a good day for you is never coming in contact with the walls of the prison. That's a good day now, when you don't see the walls, when you don't bang into one of those walls, which really don't exist, but they do for you. They do exist for you. And so I really like the idea of taking some time, and it not even necessarily more than 10 minutes, but it can go more than 10 minutes, but also during your day, including when you're trading, watching what's going through your mind, becoming self-aware. Not self-aware in the sense that you know that you are alive, because you already know that naturally, but self-aware that you see what your mind is doing, what your mind is telling you. Because a lot of the conclusions, the things that you've accepted as true, operate right below your radar. As soon as you start to pay some attention to it and turn that attention back on yourself, well, amazing things start to happen. You actually start catching some of these truths that you've accepted as true. It's good to win friends, it's good to influence people, etc., or it's good to trade like this guy did or that guy did. Those things you see they're operating, and you start realizing, wow, that's not really coming from myself. That's an accepted conclusion of mine that's running my life right now. And that goes back to my whole discussion about free will. We have very little free will as long as those things are operating, because you've come so identified with them that you'll say, that's me. Yeah, I wanted to do that. But in reality, you didn't want to do anything of the kind. You're just obligated to do that, because that's the machine that has been built up inside of you through acceptance of these ideas, etc. So spend some time with yourself. Watch yourself. Spend some time alone. Get away from the influenced people and the winning of friends, and spend some time and find out what's going on inside yourself. Not to judge it, not to be mad at it, but just to say, ah, isn't that interesting? There it is. You could do one thing. I'll tell you a really great thing, and then I'll get back to the markets here. Most people won't do this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Take 10 minutes and write down on a piece of paper every fear that goes through your head. You will be amazed how many fears you have. Just 10 minutes. Just sit down in a quiet room, get rid of everybody, sit down, relax. You can leave your eyes open. You don't have to look like a Buddhist monk. Just relax and write down every fear that comes into your head. You're going to have a really long list.
Yep. You may need 2 sheets of paper. Go.
You may need 2 sheets of paper. That's what's going through your head. That's what's behind your life. All those fears and all that stuff. And now, you don't have to rebel against the fear. Those are just ideas planted in your head. What you want to rebel against is your belief in those fears. Your belief in the idea that has been presented to you, that you should be afraid of somebody seeing you without hair, as an example, you know, like somebody who's balding or whatever, which was one of mine for a long time. I had that for that was just and that's just a small fear. I mean, you can go through, you know, it goes from the very sublime all the way to the ridiculous. You know, the number of fears that people have. Fear of losing somebody in your life, fear of, you know, all the way to fear of death, the whole thing. Take 10 minutes and sit down and write down all the fears. You'd be surprised. And you kind of get acquainted with now a little bit about what is going through your psychic system, your inner system. So I would suggest somebody take some time and do that from time to time, because you'll find that there's a lot of ideas that have been planted in you. You weren't afraid of that stuff when you were young. You weren't afraid when you were born that way. These are ideas that have been accumulated, and now you're afraid of them. And some of these things can scare the living daylight out of you, can't they?
Yep.
So, who needs that? So, far from wanting to win friends and influence people, I want to delete the programming that makes me think any of that is important.
Okay, so when you do the magic at the table...
And I've got some good ones.
Okay,
some good ones.
If it's not that a person is impressed by you, with you, or ends up liking you because of it, what's the motivation behind doing the magic?
Well, before I tell you the motivation behind doing the magic, which is really cheap and tawdry,
okay.
I want to tell you what the trick is, just to show you how impressive it is.
All right.
Okay, get this. I can do this with anybody.
Okay.
We can be sitting at a table. I pull out a deck of cards, mm-hmm. or you pull out a deck of cards.
Okay.
I have you select a card. I put the deck down on the table. You have the card. I haven't seen the card yet. And I close my eyes. Your cell phone rings, Dwayne, and a voice on the other end tells you what card you selected. Now, come on. That's pretty good. I can do that anywhere, and I'll do it for you next time I see you.
Okay.
You have to admit that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Now, as to my motivation.
That's pretty good. I got to say, without having it actually, you know, it would have blown my mind if you'd have done it. But just even hearing about it,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I've had a few people step away from me with that look like I double parked my spaceship. That can send people, you know, a few feet back.
All right. Well, I mean, everyone out there is trying to think their way through this. Obviously, the first conclusion everyone's jumping to is that every card in the deck is the same. So
no, it can be your deck.
It
doesn't have to be my deck.
It
can be your deck as well.
Okay, all right.
So
it can be.
It's really good.
Well, that's good. All right. Well,
see, my motivation is to get you to say things like this.
Maybe.
Damn, that Williams dude. He is freaky. That is some weird stuff.
Maybe you really are good enough, smart enough, and maybe people do like you. So anyway, back to your motivation behind the tawdry trick.
Well, that's my motivation, to show you something that you are amazed by, to get the thrill out of amazing you and seeing the look in your eyes when you go, wow, that's amazing. That David is really quite a guy.
No. I totally disagree. Your motivation is not about anything I feel or experience. Your motivation is only about what you feel and experience.
That's right. No, that's absolutely true. But on the basic level, on the ordinary level, that's
okay.
What you just said is very true. On the ordinary level, it's what I believe is your response. I see your face light up and you're looking at me weird. I have another little weird one I want to tell you about, and then we'll get back to the markets. I have a really bizarre trick that is is really just, it's so simple. It's with toothpicks, and I take two toothpicks, I rest one across my fingers, and I place another one across the top of that, sort of like as a cross. And the one that's laying on the top, without moving my hand at all, the one laying on the top will bounce up and down all by itself. It's really freaky. This is stuff that you would just do at a dinner table, you know, trying to get people to really think you're impressive. That's another good one.
That is good.
I'll show you that one as well. Yeah, and it looks like, and the pitch that goes along with it is that you're using your body's energy, chi, you know, to bounce the toothpick up and down. And it, you can put your face right up to it, and you can see that toothpick's just bouncing up and down on its own, and you just cannot figure out what is making that thing bounce. That's a good one.
I want to see that.
Well, you know, I've asked you out for lunch a couple times when I was in Arizona, and you're always a little busy for me.
Well, so, you know, I did make that time once.
You did. That's true. That was our first meeting.
Okay, guys, all right, here's the truth. He's on the other side of the state, and he goes, hey, I'm in the same state as you.
I know. Okay, well, let's get on to the markets here. We've talked about stuff like that. Do write down your fears. You will be a better person for it. Just write them down. Don't worry about judging them. Don't be afraid to write it. You can tear the paper up later, but look at your own fears. Let your mind relax and go through your own fears. And they can be the strangest little things. Just write them down. And they will be strange little things. Some of them will be very strange. Some of them will be very embarrassing, perhaps. But just write them down. Make a list, and then look at that list. And that now, for the first time in your life, you're objectively looking at the content of your own mind, as opposed to experiencing it. And sometimes experiencing it and not even knowing you're experiencing it, because most of it is you're not fully aware of it. You're seeing it written down. That'll start to stir up something in you to not want that stuff floating around in your head and operating. You see, give that a shot, and you'll see why I have a little fire in me about that subject. So, okay. So as we've been talking here, the market has bounced up and continued to move a little higher here. We have gotten to the 12-11-25 swing high here. We have reshorted the market again, and we'll see if the market is able to respond off these levels up here. While it's doing this,
12-11. So we hit my number there. Okay, all right.
Yeah. So we got basically between 12.0950 to 12.1050 for us, and just a slightly higher there for you. They've done all of that. They're banging into it right now, and this is important as far as I'm concerned. This level. Mm-hmm. So again, the forecast originally was for a break of 12.32, and then a fast decline into December 14th for a test or an attempt at 11.98. My preference would be before the day is over or before tomorrow's over, because tomorrow is one day late for this. My preference would be to see the market get down at the very minimum to 1100. To 1200. Come within a point or two of that level, if not lower. That would be my preference. So we'll let the market work here and continue to top. We have a couple other markets that are important. So if you want, Dwayne, let's switch over to the euro, because okay. This is another one that we talked about quite a bit recently. And on this market, we had forecast for – let me actually get the euro up in front of me here. This is the March euro now, so you shouldn't be in December anymore. The March euro had a level of 133, say 15 or so, that they had to close below in order to negate our original forecast for higher prices into the week of December 12th. That's this week, the week we're in right now. Now, you can see the big move that happened into the week of December 12th. You can see there was a cycle here. There is something important. And what happened was is the market did, in fact, break 133.15 basis March contract, and that would normally send prices down to 128.70. So that would be roughly from 133, you know, down to 128 is, you know, you're inching in on 500 pips worth of, am I correct about that? Yeah, 500 pips worth of movement. So the market did, in fact, break the 133.15, and you can see immediately the market got right down to business here on the on-time week that we were forecasting it to do so, and we've completed all but about 80 pips of that movement or whatever. What's today's low is 129.65. So 129.65 minus 128.70. Yeah, actually about 95 pips is left in this move. Nice move. I hope somebody was able to catch that. All of these markets have turned down and have broken to the downside, continuing their already existing trend. The trend was down, and they continued that trend. So the euro broke to new lows, the S&P broke to new lows, and all of them have come very close. The euro has come close relatively to finishing their target, hasn't completed it yet. We're not done with the on-time week or the 1 week late, and the S&P, of course, has continued lower here. We're going to be careful, you know, as we get closer to the level, and again, I'd love to see the market do the whole number, like on the S&P, you know, get down to the 1198 level. But if they show us something unusual or different here, or for some reason they're able to, you know, finish it down here, that's fair enough. There was a decent move, definitely, and hopefully you could have gotten something out of that once they broke back to the S&P, once they broke the 1232 level. And then, Dwayne, you had mentioned gold earlier. Gold today is in the very much the same position, except, it's very much the same position. They've had a very big move down. You can see for all of these weeks, for all of these markets, the week of December 12th that we talked about originally being the week for the big move, all of them have done that, the big move, all this week. We're in Wednesday. Look at the last 3 days in gold, 12th, 13th, 14th. They've just hammered this market. Same thing with the euro. Same thing with the S&P. So that cycle's hitting all these markets. The S&P has shown some unusual behavior prior to this, but, you know, they only do that for a short period of time, and then the market gets back into the swing of things. We were able to take advantage of some of the euro. The euro was the easiest for me. The euro was the easiest to pick up and trade because it just got right down to business. It broke the level and just ran. They all did. We weren't in gold on a short position. We actually are long gold, longer term, and with regard to the S&P, we've had a number of trades in it on the way down.
And this move, David, in your longer term position that you've been in now for a couple of years, this is not anything to shake you out of that.
We haven't. Let me take one last look at this. We haven't taken any further action in this as of yet. There is a possibility now. In fact, it's not a possibility. This move will now. Technically for us, we're looking for a bottom in January. So we're looking for a monthly bottom in gold in January. So by the market going down, and today would normally be 1 day late for a daily bottom in gold. But in doing that 1 day late, we're now also setting up for a monthly bottom. So that sort of overrides the daily. And although you may get a daily bounce, to us, it's much more important now to focus on January as the bottom. And there are some key levels that we would like to see maintained. $15.35 down to $1,500 would probably be kind of a line in the sand for us with regard to next month's close. So we'll see how gold does that. We're not throwing in the towel on gold just yet. So silver's in a different position than gold. We've mentioned that before. That you know, silver has a different type of deal going on. It's in a weaker position than gold is. So those guys on TV that sell, you know, the gold. How many commercials do you see every day for the gold? You know, gold line and this and that and the other. And you know, they've been right. I mean, they're up there selling it because gold's in a big rally, and they've been doing this for quite some time. At some point, the market is going to top out, but although we have topped and we're pulling back, we're looking for January to mark a bottom, and we'll judge it better at that time. And you know, if it was to get below 1535 on a close, or 1500 worst case on a close for gold, then that probably would end our position, because we've been taking stuff off on the way up, and I don't like having to take positions off on the way down. I like to have satisfied that need on the way up. For the most part, we have done that in gold. We missed one or two opportunities, which happens, and so we're not, you know, we didn't take everything off that we wanted. But yes, if we get below 1500 on a close, I think we'll probably be more likely to be out of gold completely.
Okay.
But not yet. So now, as we've been talking, the S&P has moved higher here. So we have moved beyond. This is a bigger advance than normal off of this time because they're moving through that area that we talked about. We're up at 1212. Yesterday, in our support and resistance panel, we had 1212 as the next important bottom on the downside, and from 1220 or whatever, and it dropped down to that level yesterday and bounced. So we're now on the underside of that. And again, I'm not going to take any action here because this is somewhat unusual what they're doing right here, and I want to see how they handle this advance. So we're going to wait here a little bit and see what they're able to do on the upside.
Okay, well, this is that area that S&P. I was looking for, 1112. So, but yeah, I mean, this is a pretty strong hourly candle that's come up here, the one that's up on my chart. I mean, we've got 12 minutes left, and we'll see how this is the area. So we'll see what happens. See what happens here. This is a. I just don't know. I don't have the news on, but I don't think there's any. Any breaking news, good news? I can turn it on.
Well, we'll see.
Have a look. Have you heard of any news? Any good news? Anybody in the audience? Average has...
You waiting on them?
I would just bring it up. S&P's down 7. Dow's down 77. NASDAQ's down 31. I'm not seeing anything scroll that is, there's no breaking news, nothing. So, yeah, I think it's just a bounce. We'll see.
Yeah, this is unusual. This is definitely unusual. This could indicate a larger move that might take us, believe it or not, up into 18 or higher by the time it's done, something like that. I'm not forecasting that, but I'm just saying the way that they've done this is unusual. It has, for us, a little bit of a reflected wave breakout type of scenario, which could indicate a pretty good little run here underway. So we're going to watch that as well. We took two attempts on the short side for that position. We got both of the positions. We had a initial profit of about a point, and then we placed our stop at break even, and both times were stopped out. That can happen, and we're trading what we consider to be the normal position for the market at that point. If the market shows you that it isn't normal, one of the nice things is that at the normal points, they normally will give you enough of a pullback to get something off so that you can protect the remainder of your position, even if they subsequently want to go higher. And that's one of the reasons that knowing those levels, you know, the 950 to 11 level is very important, because you can often trade there and be wrong and have either a very small loss or a break even if you're wrong, because they will respond to those levels even if they subsequently want to go higher. That's why I'm very big on price levels, the critical price levels. And I like to tie that in also with reflected wave tops and bottoms. And if the market's doing something unusual like it is right now, then that would indicate the potential for much higher prices. Sometimes we can even reverse and do something with that. But in this particular case, because I have that target sitting out there from the break of 32 for the decline down to 1198, it's more difficult for me to put a long position on here, because any pullback from that would have me worried that you know, it would be harder for me to hold that position through normal pullbacks, even though the market may subsequently, because of its unusual move here, go much higher. It would be hard for me to be in that. So we're not on the long side of this, but we'll watch and see. And if the program was long enough, I'd love to be on the program when they show us what is happening. We'll talk about it tomorrow, though, and how this lays out. If there is another selling opportunity up here, we will take it, and that may end up being the one that sends prices all the way back down. We do have into tomorrow for the S&P, because the on-time day is today for the price level at 1198. we've come within about 5 points, which isn't close enough to complete it, but we do have into tomorrow as well. And so we'll see. Maybe this is a bigger reaction and we can do something with it from higher prices, but we're going to wait here, Dwayne, a little bit before we take any further action. They're above all the levels we talked about, you know, including the 11 that you had mentioned. So we're testing the 13 level right now. So I think that's everything that we have, Duane. The Europe, you know, the Euro's down, has come close to completing its numbers on the downside. The S&P has come close to completing its. And we want to just take the next important trade for us on the short side and trade to the targets.
Very good.
I'll let you know how that works out tomorrow.
Very good. Well, we'll watch it here. We'll see what this area does. I expect price to be rejected, but I've been wrong before.
Well, that's part of being a trader.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. People who just love to be right all the time, this is not a good career choice. You know?
I mean, when you're an airplane pilot, you're expected to be right all the time. Brain surgery all the time. There are very few professions that allow for the margin of error that trading does, and you can still be considered successful at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't crash the plane 70% of the time, that doesn't make you a good pilot.
No, that's right. He's got a fabulous record. He's, you know, he's only at 30% of the planes he's flown crash. So this is a guy we want on the payroll.
But yet, if you're a trader and you can get it right 70% of the time, you're a superhero. They give you tights and a cape and everything. I mean, mm-hmm. your own TV show, a comic book.
Oh, yeah. You can be a trader and get it right none of the time and still make money giving advice to others. So it's a peculiar career.
You can call for Dow 400 for 20 years and still make big money.
And still make big money. So that's just the nature of the beast. But the important thing is that you protect yourself and manage the trade as we've always talked about, and then take it from there. And that's what we're going to do in hopefully every case that we trade. You know, because there are situations that come up. Sometimes there's fast moves, and then you have to make a second decision and whatever. But as it stands right now, I think it's very important that they did break through that level, and I want to see what they're able to do on the upside here. And we'll talk about this, Duane, tomorrow. I'll let you go because I know you're a hardworking
Mark,
man and probably have a lot of things to do.
Yeah, I got
to
wear the hat. Mark, he said the weather person on TV, they're another one that doesn't have to get it right all the time.
That's right. I shoveled 3 feet of partly cloudy off my doorstep this morning.
The weatherman, man, is like swatting flies. You know, every now and then you nail one, but for the most part, you just show up.
They've gotten much better at it, though. I mean, you can take a look at your app in your iPhone or whatever, your smartphone.
If it and tells you it's going to rain tomorrow, it probably will. Yeah, you're right. It will.
And people allow for that because they know the weather is quote-unquote unpredictable. People allow for that in trading because they know the market is quote-unquote unpredictable. And you know.
Think about what you just said. There's a whole profession knocked out by an app. Like my grandfather, the hard-working one that got up. Well, and they were both hard-working. I got to stop saying that. They were both very hard-working. But for one who got up at 4 and there was a lot of driving involved, the weather was an important factor. So he would actually watch the news at night to get the weather mm-hmm. forecast, so he would know the next morning, am I going to need one coat, two coats, an umbrella? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at your app. The other day, my wife goes, honey, it's clouding up. Will you check and see if it's going to rain? And I'm serious. I grab my phone. I hit the app, and the one that comes pre-installed, and it said it showed raindrops for the next 2 days. And I said very calmly, honey, it's going to be raining for the next 2 days. She said, okay, let's uncover all the plants. And lo and behold, it rained for exactly, give or take a few hours, give or take one unit of time. It rained for 2 days. And now it's fair to partly cloudy. It's really kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's not raining today, but we got some clouds. The clouds are touching the mountain. As I overlook the world's largest amusement park, the clouds are actually touching the top of the mountain. It's quite beautiful.
It's very pretty. Listen, I was at a James Bond movie when the iPhone had just come out and people had them. And it was the funniest thing because everything in the James Bond movie, which it had this new James Bond guy in it, I can't remember his name, we had more tech in our pockets than he had on screen, because when they had made the movie, the iPhone, the smartphone revolution hadn't happened. So his little gadgets where it would tell him, like, you know, where he was or, you know, whatever his little stupid gadget was, we could do 10 times that with our iPhones. That's very rare that a James Bond movie is going to have their very best high-tech stuff, and you've got something already that you've actually purchased that you're using that can do 10 times more than anything he has in the movie. It really struck me.
Was that Pierce Brosnan, or have we moved on
to
someone else?
No, I think it was the next guy. What was the next guy?
I don't know. But I know
wasn't
these...
crazy about the next one, but...
I know these two guys. They do podcasts. I know these two guys. They do podcasts about nothing but James Bond movies.
Yeah. No, they're fabulous. And one of my favorites, because it was when I was younger, was The Spy Who Loved Me, with the White Lotus Esprit and the shipping magnate guy that, you know, was planning on taking over the world or whatever. The Spy Who Loved Me. If you haven't seen that one, go check it out. It's worth seeing. It's really done. At the time, it was done, and it's in, you know, these every scene was like a complete vignette of, you know, there was no passing scenes. Every little scene in this movie had beautiful photography, beautiful setups, beautiful everything. And that's when the Broccoli brothers, that's their last name, if I'm pronouncing correctly, when they were making James Bond movies, and they had a whole series of them that they did a really, really good job on. And I think they've since retired, and some of the newer ones, to be honest with you, to me, haven't been as good as the older ones. And people say that a lot about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's true.
Anyway, Dwayne, I'll let you go. All here. Right, we'll see how this market handles this, and we'll plan on talking tomorrow. Keep all the levels that we've talked about in mind for the S&P with regard to the larger targets on the downside, including the euro. And, Dwayne, pleasure being on the program, and I'll see you here tomorrow.
David, as always, a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks again. You too. See ya.
That's also my cue to get up and get out of here. Speaking of gadgets, we got gadgets. It's true. Here, let me log out of this. Gadgets. Love them gadgets. Okay. CFRN.net. Scroll down. Right there. E-mini Futures app. Got a smartphone? No, not that smartphone. iPhone or Android. Point your smartphone browser, okay, at that address. Not your desktop browser. The actual browser on your smartphone. Point it to that address. And an iPhone, I don't know about Android, but the iPhone does not like the word e-mini. It wants to auto spell correct it to e-nini. Okay, which won't work. You got to force it to accept e-mini app.isites.us, and boom, you can go and download the app. What does the app do? God, it does so much. No, it lets you listen to the podcast. It hooks you up with the Daily Audio Bible, which is, you know how heartily I recommend that and have been for years. Brian does an awesome job. There's an awesome community of people. I enjoy listening to him read the Bible. He can say all of those names in the Old Testament that we can't. He reads each day from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalm, the Proverbs, and then he gives a little, you know, he encapsulates it at the end, talks about it, talks about what's going on in the greater community of Daily Audio Bible, people all over the world participating, calling in with prayer requests. That's actually one of my favorite parts. It's when you really feel the sense of community when at the end of each day's broadcast, they play a role from the voicemail, people calling in, praise reports, asking for prayer, praying for other people. I don't know. If you've never experienced the Daily Audio Bible, and I understand there's a couple different variations and whatnot out there, this is the original, the real deal. Not saying the others aren't good. I'm sure they are very good. All I'm saying is this is the one that I listen to, my wife listens to, lots of people I know really enjoy the Daily Audio Bible with Brian. I can't remember his last name. But go to dailyaudiobible.com. You can listen online. You don't have to put it on a smartphone. You don't have to download an app. But if you want to have a handy app that includes both our podcast and the Daily Audio Bible, then point your smartphone browser right there. Okay? If you want to take a free trial, then you put an LY on the end of that app. Boom. There you are. Okay? Like I said earlier, when you take our free trial, we give you everything we have. We don't give you a teaser. We don't give you a taste. We don't give you a sample. You get the platform, simulator, indicators, data, training, unlimited, email, telephone support, one-on-one go-to meetings if you need help getting anything set up or understanding anything. All of that free for 5 days. I don't think anyone, we may not be the best traders on the planet. We try hard. We work hard. I believe we may be the hardest working traders on the planet, but I'm not going to say we're the best. I do think we have the best free trial on the planet because we do so much and we're willing to do so much. So, you know, give it a try. If it's for you, great. If not, we still love you and we still want you to come hang out and enjoy the radio program and be a part of the CFRN family, okay? You may not be a partner, but you'll always be a part of the family. Why? Because we have the same dad. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.